Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That's 603-283-6160. Joining you here tonight is Ian.
Nicholas Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass is also here.
And you're welcome to join us online. Anytime you want, just head over to freetalklive.com and you can enjoy the features there, archives galore, and all kinds of other ways to interact with other Free Talk Live listeners and such.
Nice shirt there, Peakless Mountaineer.
It is.
Yeah.
Excellent shirt.
I have a photo of...
In fact, a kick-ass shirt.
It is, yes. It's not a nice shirt. It is a kick-ass shirt, isn't it? I have a photo of somebody who's been wearing one and has done some work in it, so it's like work worn.
Hey,
and
nice.
Like it's standing the test of time, so
nice.
At least, you know, 2 weeks.
Quality. Maybe.
You're referring to the Captain Kickass shirt, which is available through Amazon.
Yes.
Right? Which there's another subject you have tonight relating to Amazon about how to potentially order anonymously
yes.
through Amazon, which I'm very interested to hear about using Monero, the world's most, I guess, popular anonymous cryptocurrency. So we can talk about that.
I do want to point out that the logo on the T-shirt is the cover art for the upcoming EP that I'm releasing. Three
mm-hmm.
songs.
Yep.
It's called Eleuthermania. It'll be officially released on Independence Day. I refuse
right.
to call it July 4th. It's Independence Day.
That's what it is.
And if you're going to Forkfest or Porkfest this year, I will be there. I will have advanced copies.
Nice.
I have just secured a spot. It'll be right next to the Free Talk Live site.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be right next door to it on Sunday night of Forkfest. So that's Porkfest Eve, the last day of Forkfest.
That's right.
On Sunday night, I'm going to do a listening party slash premiere of the music video.
Is that June 18th?
It is June 18th, Sunday night. And I'm going to do the premiere of the music video.
That's
there
cool.
as well, and a listening party for all three songs. And I'll talk a little bit about each of the songs, you know, before we play them, that kind of thing. A little pseudo-presentation for those folks. And so you can pick up an advanced copy and T-shirts. I have stickers, too.
Yeah,
I saw
those.
All that kind of stuff.
So this is at Porkfest, or rather the final night of Forkfest, which will be probably a pretty great night.
I hope so.
And then the official release to anybody who's not at that event will be July 4th.
Right, so like... all of your normal places that you get music. I've got digital distribution set up to release on July 4th. So, Independence Day.
Right. All right. So if you want to comment here on whatever's on your mind, the number is 603-283-6160. Captain, you were telling me a story last night. About a New York City situation where a poor bastard is now being strung up with... I don't know how many years in prison, but 27 felony or 26 felony charges for simply defending himself
right.
in a robbery or something
like
that?
Yeah, it was like a
that.
Mugging.
Somebody attempted to mug him.
Yeah.
I presume it did not go well for the mugger.
No, it didn't.
In that case.
So this from ABC7NY.com. Man accused of killing mugger in Queens, arraigned on 26 gun charges, and his bail was doubled.
Rather than giving him a medal for taking out a scumbag who was trying to, probably has mugged other people. This probably wasn't his first mugging.
One would think.
It was just the one where somebody fought back and actually killed the dude. Rather than, you know, thanking him for doing the city a favor and cleaning up the streets, no, they apparently investigated him and went to his home after it was found that he was, what, illegally carrying a gun?
Yeah, so he defended himself, first and foremost.
Right. With a gun.
With a gun. He allegedly, and this article has to say allegedly, shot and killed a suspect who was trying to rob him. He appeared in court on Friday on 26 counts of criminal possession of a weapon. Bail was recommended at $25,000 for Charles Foner, I'm not sure how you pronounce this. He was age 65. during his arraignment before Judge Jerry Iannacy, I'm probably butchering that as well, in Queens Criminal Court. Judge Iannacy showed Fehner no sympathy during the brief court appearance, doubling the amount initially requested for bail by the Queens DA office. So the DA originally said, we recommend $25,000 bail.
They said, enough.
No, I think we're really going to F this guy. Let's double it.
I'm an activist.
Yeah. The defendant, this is a quote, the defendant was on the street with a loaded, unlicensed gun, the judge said. There are too many shootings in this city! Exclamation mark. The court is quite concerned with what we see. That's a quote from the judge.
Right, yeah. Look, if you're going to get robbed in New York City, you're just supposed to take it. You give up all the money that you have, bend over, and let the criminal do absolutely anything that they want to.
Well, serves you right for having cash in the first place. You're supposed to have transitioned to credit cards and debit cards, and really just credit cards. Like, you're not supposed to have any actual money, just debt.
And how impartial does that judge sound? Like, not at all. Like, completely not impartial at all.
Justice isn't impartial anymore.
Fehner was walking to a parking garage when he said the robbery suspect, identified as 32-year-old Cody Gonzalez, demanded money. Investigators say Fehner, a retired doorman, claims he shot the would-be mugger to death after the assailant lunged at him with a sharp object at 2 a.m. on Wednesday. On Thursday, investigators revealed that the robbery suspect was not armed with a weapon, but did have a pen. The 32-year-old had more than a dozen prior arrests. So, I mean, a pen is still a pointed object. So, you know, you can injure or kill a man with a pen.
They say the pen's mightier than the sword.
Indeed. Fehner said nothing to reporters as he was led from the 102nd Precinct in handcuffs late Thursday afternoon after Queens prosecutors filed weapons charges, including criminal possession of a weapon and criminal possession of a firearm. Police then confirmed later in the evening that Fehner was charged with 26 counts of criminal possession of a weapon, but was not charged in the fatal shooting.
I'm actually surprised. I mean,
me too.
You know, you've heard the stories about how you're supposed to you shoot somebody outside your house. In some jurisdictions, they say drag them inside. Otherwise, they'll, like, come at you for whatever. I don't know what the charge is, manslaughter or something like that, or second degree murder or whatever. And I'm surprised they didn't just say something, you know, hit him with some kind of other felony here for defending himself.
And it gets weirder, too, particularly about that, about the whole, like, the incident that this occurred, the mugging itself, he is facing no legal ramifications for.
Not yet.
At least yet.
Yeah.
Right. But it gets weird. This comes after a search warrant recovered more than two dozen firearms, which included pistols, shotguns, rifles, three assault rifles, an AK-47, 153 loaded high-capacity magazines.
And two
body armor vests.
I mean, first of all, he shouldn't live in New York City. This is a huge mistake.
Under any circumstances.
Yeah, if you are a gun-owning person and you believe in defending yourself, you should just leave the city and move to a more gun-friendly place. If you're a libertarian-minded person...
If you are not a communist, stay away from New York City.
Right. If you're a libertarian, you should just move 4 hours northeast and come on up to New Hampshire. If you are a conservative-type person, then Texas, Florida, you'll probably feel right at home. In places like that, and that's it. That solves your problem right off the bat. But it just makes me wonder, like, how did this guy even walk those guns into his apartment? How do you? I mean, he would have had to have been real careful, right? Because people around New York City are more likely to snitch on you, and they're all kinds of some of them are nosy busybodies. Like, it seems like it'd be a challenge
to
even move those kind of guns around the city.
The article says he's a retired doorman. Now, to me, a doorman means a guy checking your ID and taking cover at the club. But
no,
it
he's
could
probably
also
a doorman
mean like
a
hotel or an apartment building or whatever, that kind of thing. Yeah. So my guess is that he had access to, like, some sort of a shipping bay, you know, that kind of a thing. Like, he could, you know, ship and, or not ship and receive, but he could receive stuff in ways that a normal person
probably
couldn't.
Can you even just buy guns like that online and then just have them shipped to you? Don't you normally have to go to, like, a federal dealer or something like that and show ID?
Sure. But there's also, like I know people who have, you know, multiple addresses for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
Some of them just sort of happen organically, right? You just sort of always use your parents' address, and you move out of your parents' place, and but you still get some mail there occasionally, mm-hmm. maybe for, mm-hmm. like, your student loans or something. You know, you might get mail. And so it's possible for a guy to live in New York State or city and, like, also sort of live somewhere else officially and be able to purchase these things outside of...
Yeah, it's possible he drove to New Hampshire and bought guns in New Hampshire.
Absolutely.
And then drove them down, put them into a guitar case, and walked them into his apartment.
I'm just saying there's a variety of ways for which a person can achieve this. The government thinks that they're outlawing and banning and, you know, all these mm-hmm. kinds of things, but it is probably very surprising to most statists how armed regular people really are.
And if he used to be the doorman of his own building, he would be the very person people would expect to call the police if there was a mysterious package showing up.
Indeed.
Wow.
So they found a bunch of guns. He did have a license. This says for 5 rifles. So he was at least compliant, if you will,
wow.
with partial
that
New York City law.
In New York. I mean, New York City, you're not even, last I heard, you weren't even supposed to have a private gun unless you were like an armored car guy
right.
or something mm-hmm. like that, or a private detective.
Certain private investigators
yeah.
can get firearms, but other ones cannot. So there's a, yeah, you have to jump through like an amazing amount
of hoops. I can't even imagine what he had to go through.
I'm pretty sure it's the single most restrictive gun laws in the United States.
Yeah.
I think Chicago's got that.
They're probably up there.
Really?
Sure.
Yeah.
Top 3, at least.
Fainer told prosecutors, I pulled the gun out of my pocket. It didn't go off accidentally. I pulled the trigger. I emptied the revolver.
Wow.
Last night, I was carrying a firearm because of crime in the city.
Yep.
I've had it since the 1990s.
Mm.
I obtained it in a bar one night. The firearms are mine and mine alone.
So wait, just to clarify, he's got a license for the rifles, it said.
That's what it said.
But the gun he had on him in the shooting was not legal?
He did not have a license for it.
I see. Okay. Yes.
The retired doorman allegedly told detectives he collects the firearms as a hobby.
Damn.
But Fainer does not have a permit for the pistol or for most of the weapons he collected. Fainer was originally set to be arraigned on Thursday night, but in a bizarre twist, this is where it gets weird, the judge recused herself in the middle of proceedings and adjourned the arraignment for Friday.
Okay.
So, and we talked about this last night, recusing just means that usually there's a conflict of interest. So
typically.
Not sure what the conflict of interest is here. The next paragraph says, the judge signed off on the search warrant related to the shooting. This is the search warrant for the guy's house. So the shooting occurred, right? Legal people got involved. The state gets involved. And then somehow the DA said, well, we got to search the guy's house because he didn't have a license for the pistol that he killed the mugger with. So that's what happened. The judge signed that warrant, but since the Fainer is not being charged in the shooting itself, the judge is now connected to aspects of this case that are not within the scope of the charges. And that's, yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. They don't come right out and say what it is. They don't say it's a conflict of interest.
Hmm.
They just say that the judge who said, so wouldn't that invalidate the warrant as well, is my question, from a legal perspective?
Well, you would think, but this is the government we're talking about. Yeah. They don't actually have to, you know, abide by their own rules or the rules of logic.
Judge Iannucci took over the case on Friday. The shooting happened in a driveway outside of Fainer's apartment building, where a surveillance camera captured the entire confrontation. The video shows Fainer backing down the driveway as the assailant closed in on him. Fainer draws his gun, and the assailant keeps on coming. The shots were fired from a distance of about 8 feet. Fainer lives in the building in the Kew Gardens section of Queens with his wife. His neighbors have expressed much support for him. Angel Rodriguez lives just down the hall. She says, very friendly and respectful. I've never seen anything from him that would indicate malice. So my interactions with him have always been pleasant. He's a nice guy, a family guy. Fainer,
of course he is. He just did it. He did what he had to do to defend himself, and it sounded like he gave the guy a chance to back the F off. But the dude was a psycho, and he kept advancing even when the guy pulled a gun on him.
So here's the thing. Apparently, it seems to me that New York City doesn't want the publicity around the shooting itself, because here's a man acting in self-defense.
Right.
And I think that that would create a whole bunch of press that New York City doesn't want. Now, what New York City does want, of course, is the prosecution of a man who only had a license for 5 of the 26 firearms they found. And so that's the publicity they're after. This is why they're not prosecuting him, in my opinion. I'm just spitballing here. I have no evidence of this.
I have a completely different theory.
Okay.
Like, I suspect that this guy is connected either directly or indirectly with the government. Like, they tend to protect their own, so that the judge might be, oh,
which guy?
No, I know who this is.
The suspect.
I am not going to judge on this. Yeah, the suspect. I mean, as we were talking about a moment ago, like, how did this guy get... You'd be surprised, man. And that's the thing. That is the official story. That doesn't mean that's necessarily who this guy actually is. Hmm. Look, the only things that we really know about this guy is you have how many guns in New York City? So, I mean,
first of all, applause to the man for having that many guns in New York City. Some of them from the 1990s, apparently, at least according to the article. Like, I mean, that is acting like a free man regardless of the situation around you, in my opinion.
And the price to pay for it, though, unfortunately.
Hell of a price. So the other thing I want to point out is that this guy is guilty of nothing except paperwork.
That's right.
Right? He didn't fill out the paperwork that the state requires him to fill out and pay the amount of fees to have the appropriate licensing for
this is the biggest crime.
His own property.
That's the real crime there. He didn't cut the state in.
Right.
You have to give them their cut or else.
Right. The mafia didn't get their cut. This is the state in this case. The mafia is the state in this case. And that's why he's facing 26 felonies.
Yeah, you didn't give them their cut, and you didn't perform the free labor and allow them to wait unknown periods of time before approving your actions.
Yeah. Now, the basis of most law is something called common law. And common law basically says if there's no victim, no person harmed, and no property damaged, no property harmed, then there is no crime. And that's generally accepted by most people. That sounds right. That sounds legit. And that is not the case when it comes to government. And I can't hammer this home to our listeners, and particularly those who are new to this show listening, that this is the case most of the time. Most of the time, people are getting convicted where there is no victim. No victim, no crime. But the behemoth known as government, state government, federal government, whatever level you want, keeps growing and keeps putting people in prison, keeps threatening their lives, caging people for paperwork violations because they didn't fill out the right form and pay the right fee.
Apparently, his lawyer, Margaret Lynn, according to the New York Post, urged the judge to release him on his own recognizance, saying he's a deli worker, has no criminal record, and lives steps away from the courthouse. She said this incident is a total aberration in his life. He's the one who called the police immediately after the robbery where he was the victim. But that didn't matter to the judge, who sided with the prosecutors, and then, as you mentioned, the $50,000 bail in this case. Facing up to 25 years in prison, the man is 65 years old, so this is potential life prison sentence for him.
Yeah, if they sentence him to 25 years, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, without some kind of weird complication that would be difficult to know about, I can't imagine why they wouldn't be nailing this guy to the wall publicly. Like,
that
he
looks
should
like
be
what
the,
they're doing.
Yeah, he should... Well, the judge is recusing herself. Why on earth are you recusing
herself? She doesn't have to say,
herself?
I guess.
Apparently not.
And now there's another judge, so it's going to move forward.
Judges are political entities, so you would think that this judge would be hopping on the opportunity to, you know, reestablish the New York identity.
The only thing, I can think of, and I'm just, again, spitballing, is that judge who recused herself presided over a case of the mugger. Because it said the mugger had been, in the court system multiple times, a dozen times or so, I think is what it said. So,
And in that case, she might have expunged the record.
Yeah, something. So that's the only thing I can think of, that makes logical sense or at least is sort of a believable thing. Mm. I mean, if he was a doorman, maybe she lived in an apartment where he was the door guy or something. I don't know. But you would think that that would have not allowed her to press the warrant or sign the warrant if that were the case. But I don't really know. The details hopefully are more forthcoming, you know, to answer these questions, but likely not.
Yeah, if you're keeping up to date on this story, please feel free to reach out to us and let us know. But it's just so it's so sad when you hear about people in places like New York and California who could avoid all of these problems by simply being in a different place, a different so-called jurisdiction where it's not illegal to have guns in your home.
Right. Or on your person.
You know, in a case like this in New Hampshire, you'd usually get a pat on the back from the cops for defending yourself, and you go home, and that's the end of the story. The fact that you defend yourself in the street isn't justification for a search of your house.
Right, which is all that should happen here in this case, too. The man defended himself. There's video evidence of the altercation that shows clearly the dude was coming at him with something in his hand. And, you know, the dude shot him.
Yeah, and, I mean, the guy's a doorman and a deli worker. That's not work that you have to be in New York for.
Nope. Well, doorman, you got to be in a big city. But, deli workers, you can do that anywhere.
Yeah. So.
Sad story.
So, again, like, it's insane, like, just how petty government can be.
Yep.
In just, like, if they want to come after you, they will manufacture what they need to come after you. There's so many laws that have been written, both federal, state, that no one can even count them. And if you don't believe me, I dare you to try. Go look it up. Go look up how many laws exist.
Impossible.
It's impossible. People have tried, and they reckon that it'll take multiple lifetimes for even another attempt to be started.
Maybe that'll be something that we can finally accomplish with AI. AI, how many laws exist?
Yeah, right. That is a good question.
Have it just pour through them and be like, well, by this counting, it's
that's 12,759,000,000,000,000.
Would you be asking for the whole planet or just the United States or New York City?
Personally, I would be asking how many laws apply to me.
Oh, that's even harder to answer that one,
right, because there's no evidence that laws actually apply.
Well,
there's evidence that they'll throw you in a prison cell.
Evidence that there are men who will, you know, put you in a cage, and if you resist, they will end your life. Of course there is.
I'm certain that any AI that I get a hold of that is at all capable of accessing law, like the statutes and everything, will have been trained in a very statist way.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it would be an interesting exercise to ask AI what evidence there is that laws apply to you.
I'm pretty sure it would come back with something like the Constitution or this statute says it applies to you.
Well, interestingly, that question was asked at Jay Noon's, Shallon, his wife's hearing, which Jay was representing her at.
Yeah, they even addressed that one. It was very subtle. But
I want to know what they said, and we can talk about it after that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll continue here in a moment. The number is 603-283-6160. I was actually surprised the witness was allowed to answer the question. So Jay was able to ask the question and it was answered. I figured there'd be an objection to it. Surprisingly, there wasn't. There's more coming up here. There were plenty of other objections, but more on the way. You can join us, 603-283-6160, here on Free Talk Live.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The USA News Update. President Biden signed the debt ceiling bill on Saturday. The bill expands work requirements for certain federal programs and terminates the suspension of federal student loan payments, among other provisions. Officials in India are looking into why two passenger trains derailed on Friday, killing more than 250 people. More than 1,000 others were injured. In the wake of a dozen horses being euthanized in the past month, Churchill Downs is suspending operations to re-examine its safety measures. The first named storm in the Atlantic was downgraded on Saturday. The National Hurricane Center says wind speeds slowed down as the former tropical storm Arlene moves through the Gulf of Mexico, but well off the Florida coast. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse will win the box office domestically this weekend. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535. Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. The phones are open. You can join us here live Saturday show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian Pecos Mountaineer and Captain Kickass joining you. I want to say thank you to Garbage Man, who is a supporter of the AMPS program. I like that name. Garbage Man is supporting us for $5 a month, which is all that we ask for. We definitely appreciate the support. He is silver level support over at amps.freetalklive.com, and you can join him for $5 a month. You can help us advertise, market, promote, and support. That is what AMPS stands for. So if you appreciate the mission that we have here and you want to help support it, that would be a great way to do it. Just go to amps.freetalklive.com. You can get signed up there. That is our Patreon. You can use that to sign up with your debit card, credit card, or your PayPal account. Maybe you don't like Patreon. Maybe you prefer another option. We have that, thanks to the folks over at Odyssey, which is our YouTube, or excuse me, our replacement for YouTube.
Yeah.
It's much better than YouTube. Check out our Odyssey channel at video.freetalklive.com and then click the join button. I believe it's up right up at the top of the channel, and then you can jump through the hoops there, and then you don't have to support Patreon, and actually 100% of the $5 that you give through Odyssey actually comes to us because they tack the fee on top. Whereas Patreon takes it out of the $5, so we end up with like, you know, $4.20 or 30 cents or something. And on Odyssey, we get all five, and it ends up being like $5.70-something for you. So some of it goes to Odyssey, and then obviously the credit card company gets their cut. So check it out.
Real quick, there was a movie released yesterday on Twitter.
It was
heavily censored. It's called What is a Woman? Now, I haven't seen the movie.
I haven't either. The dude that made it is a total a-hole.
I did see a bunch of links for it, and so like it was available for you to watch. However,
he's like an ultra-right-wing
Babylon B released their own documentary called What is a Man?
Okay.
It's a 99-minute movie.
Yeah, it's a real documentary.
A real documentary. Well, it's Babylon B, so it's funny.
Got it.
And so...
It's a full-length mockumentary.
I see.
It's very mocking.
You watched the whole thing?
I did watch the... Well, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Just go find it and watch it. It's called What is a Man? And it is sort of the antithesis, if you will, of this other documentary, What is a Woman? So, Babylon Bee, What is a Man? Go watch
it. Worth a watch, huh?
It's totally worth the watch. It might be one of the greatest parody documentaries I have ever seen.
Wow. Wow, are we talking about like on Spinal Tap level kind of like that?
It's different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to spoil
it. I'm not saying it's going
to
be like that, but that is a parody documentary, is it not?
I would not rate this on the level of Spinal Tap.
Meaning that it's worse than or better than?
Only because this is Spinal Tap. Yeah, it's the movie that we're talking about. Only because this is Spinal Tap is a rock and roll movie.
Right.
But it is a mockumentary.
It is a mockumentary, yes. Right.
Wasn't it like one of the first ones?
Probably, yeah.
Certainly one of the first
famous
ones.
And it's pretty great, but like that sort of to me stands in its own. That's something that will never, ever be done again.
This is Spinal Tap stands alone.
Yeah, the likes of that will never occur. So if you take Spinal Tap out of the equation, then my statement stands.
That's the one they did about the dog show.
Into the equation.
The mockumentary about the dog show?
Oh, yeah, the guys from Spinal Tap, the guys that did that, did one about dog shows.
Damn it, I can't remember
the
name of it.
What the hell's that one called? It was pretty funny.
If only there were a device.
Yeah, yeah. Well, while you check that out.
Well, while you check that. I was very glad that I got to see the Noon case, or I guess the...
Oh, yeah, thank you for going to talk about that.
Yes, let's talk about that.
The Shallon Spaulding case, I guess.
I think of them as the Noons. They are.
They are the Noons. Well, and that was an interesting bit because they are, you know, married like humans rather than like property of the state.
Correct. They did a free wedding at Forkfest years and years ago. It was actually, I think, 2018, and our very own Mark Edge from the Shire Free Church was the officiant.
The movie was called Best in Show.
Best in Show. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and I actually did notice that he snuck it right in there. Like, I think it was the very last thing that he did, the prosecutor, because there were two rounds of questioning for the police officer that he brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think it was literally the last question that he asked him there, and just snuck it in at the end of, like, oh, in your experience as a police officer, are people who are physically in the area of Concord subject to this jurisdiction?
Whoa, I missed that one.
Yeah, it was real sneaky. But he absolutely, he snuck it in there right at the end.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really interesting seeing the unpredictably different responses that courts have to challenges of jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
What was the question that was asked that was allowed to be answered?
Right, so the reason the prosecutor asked that last question that you're referring to is because Jay, again, he was acting as what they call attorney in fact. So he basically signed a form saying that I will obey the attorney rules and I can quote unquote represent my wife. He did ask I think it was the cop, something to the effect of, you had actually said the wording a few moments ago without even realizing that was what was being said.
It was something along the lines of is there any evidence that this jurisdiction applies to this individual?
Yeah, something like
that. And he said no.
He did.
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this because, you know, some people are like, oh, well, he wanted to do a written one later so that we wouldn't be happy that it went our way or that we wouldn't be upset that it didn't go our way. And the more I'm thinking about this, like, there is some real complexity to this particular case that makes it a very difficult case to judge on, because who challenges jurisdiction?
Well, but that's what everybody should do.
Yes, absolutely.
And in fact, rather than directly challenging jurisdiction by saying something like, you know, what is jurisdiction, right? That's going to get you into some, you know, weird discussions with the judge and the prosecutor. Mm-hmm. But asking a question, and Bonnie alluded to this during the break when we were discussing this, the best question I think to ask is, can you show me the evidence that the jurisdiction applies to me?
Right. Okay, so this is to that question, I did take notes. I was using my Mastodon account over at social.freetalklive.com.
I was following you.
As it was going along, and I did write what I believe was the exact question.
Okay.
It was, do you have any evidence of facts that the New Hampshire RSAs apply to Shallon Spaulding?
There you go.
That's it.
That's a great question.
And he said no.
Yeah. So did
he motion for a thing right then and there?
There was no objection to that question. Oh, did he motion to dismiss?
Yes, dismiss.
No, he did.
He had already motioned to dismiss, so that...
He could have motioned right then and there, though. Mm-hmm. He could have said, look, this witness just, you know, I don't know what what you would say for that motion, but look, there's no evidence the law applies,
that's what you would say. On the basis of the fact that there's no evidence that this applies to my wife.
I would actually ask a confirming question of the judge before I would motion, and what I would say is, judge, you know, help me out here, right? Get a little Columbo with it. If I'm Jay, obviously I'm not an attorney, but to my understanding that it is the prosecution's job to provide the evidence. And the prosecution is unable to do that according to the answer we just heard. Right. So I must motion for you to dismiss this.
Right. You're here to find facts.
Get the judge to agree that, yes, that's indeed how it works. Great. Then I motion for you to dismiss this case based on a lack of evidence.
Yeah, that's what you do. Okay. I move to dismiss then. Yeah.
It's hard, though. I mean, when you're up there, the pressure's on.
It's so difficult. Yeah.
If you're not experienced. And Jay is... pretty experienced
and
dealing with court stuff, but that doesn't mean it's not hard as hell to be up there with all the pressure on.
Right. So, I mean, as I see it, there's two things that the judge really has to figure out on this one. So the first thing is the jurisdictional matter, which is really dicey because his job is to make the court look good. That is the most and only important thing in not only any lawyer's job, but especially any judge's job. Like, that is what you make an oath to. You swear an oath to uphold the court. That means make the court look good. So if he acknowledges, ooh, wow, yeah, there isn't a jurisdiction here, he has to do so in a way that doesn't make the court look stupid. And he also has to go, okay, it's specifically said that usually this jurisdiction applies. So if I say that this jurisdiction doesn't apply, I have to explain why it doesn't apply in this case.
Right. So rather than making the judge and the court look foolish, you just make the prosecution look like they were incompetent or they were unable to complete their job.
Mm.
Right. They didn't fully take care of all of the details. And that,
which still makes the court look bad.
It makes the prosecution look bad, not necessarily the court.
Ah, the prosecution is part of the court.
I understand what you're saying, and we're arguing semantics here, but the judge would much rather dismiss a case where the prosecution looks bad rather than dismiss a case where the defendant has just made the judge look bad.
That's true.
Well, first of all, the judge isn't going to rule the court doesn't have jurisdiction. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
Right, but the judge can rule that the prosecution did not provide enough evidence, which it's their job to do.
What the judge is likely to do, if he's going to rule in favor of the Nunes on this, and I think there's a good chance he's going to rule in favor of the Nunes for listeners that don't know, and we didn't even say this, but Jay's wife, Shallon, is accused of quote-unquote child endangerment for leaving a 2-year-old in a car with air conditioning on, strapped into a car seat.
For napping.
Allegedly as little as 15 minutes, if you believe the witnesses in the case, as much as 30 to 45 minutes. So there was all kinds of different testimony about how long the child was in the car. So
but no evidence.
That was not very clear. Well, there was witness accounts, but that was it. And so I think that the judge took it under advisement, and in a lot of cases that I've seen, when a judge takes a case under advisement, almost, I would say most of the time, it comes back not guilty.
Okay,
and,
so...
And if he wanted to do a guilty, he'd have just done it right then and there, done it in front of everybody. It would have been a big dampener on the crowd if he'd done it. But it would be a huge excitement to the crowd, because there was a huge crowd of people at this yeah. trial. Everybody would have been whooping and hollering if he had said not guilty in the courtroom. So he's smart, right? Like, this judge is no dummy. He's going to issue the order quietly. It's going to get mailed over to Jay, and then nobody's going to be able to have a big party in front of, you know, the system right. or whatever, or on video in the events. I think he's likely to going to go not guilty. He doesn't have to explain why he went not guilty. He's not going to say not guilty due to lack of jurisdiction. It'll just be, you know, yeah. state didn't prove its case, and he won't even have to say that.
Right. I have two questions about that. So, my expectation, and again, I'm no attorney and I have no experience at, you know, sitting through cases and litigation and that kind of thing, but this under advisement thing, it's my expectation as a defendant, you know, if I go to court that, or go to a trial, that at the end of the trial, the judge makes his decision.
No.
That doesn't seem to be the case.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It just depends.
Okay.
Oh, how I wish.
All right. So then my second question is, during your trial,
the Crypto 6 case,
your trial, your attorney made some motions, and two of them, I believe, at least I think I saw two different times where he made a motion to dismiss, and the judge said, I'll take that under advisement.
That's right.
And then the case went on, and then the jury found you guilty.
Correct.
So
we're still waiting.
What I don't understand how this particular legal magic works, this under advisement thing.
The under advisement just means the judge will consider it and make a ruling later.
And is there a time frame?
No.
Is there, they're not held to any
accountability for the government?
I mean, I'm obviously looking for something that doesn't exist, but to me, this seems like...
they don't even have a rule they're supposed to be following about how long it takes the judge. They can take their
time. The judge can take
time.
A year if he wants to.
It seems to me like this is stuff the regular folk, our listeners included, who aren't, you know, legal scholars and, you know, studiers of these
right.
things, should be fully aware of, because I was not aware of these things.
Yeah, they don't teach right. you this in school.
And these are, like, sort of my first observations of these things. I'm like, well, what is this under advisement crap?
Yeah, this certainly doesn't show up in the movies and TV shows. Not
no, never. Right. And that's where most people get their idea of everything state, the cops, the military, the judges, the prosecutors, the investigators, all that stuff in the United States of America and the world over, that crap, your idea of that comes from television. It's called programming for a reason.
Yeah, in theory, under advisement should mean, in the ideal situation, that the judge hasn't made up his mind quite yet, that he needs to review the law, he needs to review some case law, he needs to review the evidence in the case, and make a decision based on not whatever he's immediately thinking, but he may have some questions that he needs to resolve or
right.
whatever. You know, and in some other cases, it may simply be that the judge just doesn't want to do it in front of the crowd. You know, it could be just that simple. So who knows? They never get to, they never tell you why.
Yeah.
That's their privilege right. in that case. In the case of the Crypto 6, it's been 6 months since he took that motion under advisement, and we're still waiting. In fact, my attorney says that's the longest amount of time he's ever waited in his career.
I was going to say, your attorney's got a bunch of experience.
A ruling, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones here. We got Tim on the line in Florida. By the way, for those that are looking for the Noon case that we're talking about, the video is pretty much done. It's just got to be exported and then uploaded. I'm actually waiting to see if we can get some word from Jay or his wife on whether or not the court's ruling came in. Because a lot of times when a judge says they're going to take it under advisement, they literally write the ruling the same day or the next day.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance that ruling went out Thursday or Friday in the mail, and it could be at Jay's house, you know, today.
Yeah.
So I haven't heard any updates. But that's why I'm just kind of holding off. Because
sure.
if I can get the
yeah.
ruling in the video, that's obviously a nice thing to have.
Yeah.
So that's coming. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live, calling from Florida. Tim in Florida. Going once. Tim in Florida.
Timmy.
Going twice. We'll put him on hold. Try him back later. Ricky in Pennsylvania, or Ricky in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Go ahead.
No doubt there, brother. Ian, brother Kaplan. Brother Captain Peakless Mountaineer, good evening.
Well, it's weird that
Peakless, Mr. from the Commonwealth.
It's weird that Peakless isn't a brother for some reason.
No, I objected to that term.
Well, no, he don't want to be father.
Yeah, no, I withhold that for very specific and careful usage. It takes a lot for me to consider you a brother.
I'm loose with it from time to time, but I have two distinct different meanings. There are times if I call you my brother, it means that I treat you like as if you were my birth brother.
Right.
Okay. Right. But then there's another version of it where if I call you brother, it means my fellow human.
Right.
Mm. Right. We're I recognize brothers. that you yeah. are a human being. Oh, you're human too? You
yeah,
are my brother,
I'm going to go with
right?
cousin on that one. Because you're all my 50 bajillionth cousin 900,000 times removed.
Yeah, okay.
But, and part of it, honestly, is just that as much as I appreciate his input, Ricky is a statist.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's not correct there. That's not correct.
Here we go again.
We'll save that
okay.
for another time.
Let me, and maybe I'm using statist in a way that you don't usually use it, but what I mean by it is you believe that it is just to have a coercive monopoly on the enforcement of law.
Excuse me?
You believe that it is just
that?
To have a coercive monopoly on the enforcement of law. So specifically, if your Commonwealth secedes, which I wish you the very best of luck in that occurring, you would still say that everyone that's in this geographical region will be forced to pay a tax in order to exist there.
Well, no, but see, the problem is, Peakless, you tend to not, I guess, listen to the show all the time. I talk to Brother Ian, and I actually talked to some members of the Commonwealth recently. I think it'll fly. My answer is, you know, you have a memorandum and we'll agree to a small amount. And the way it works is it's like a donation. If you can't pay it, nobody's going to nail you. Peakless, let me talk so you understand. So if you don't pay it, that's fine. When you can pay it again, it's all good. It'll work out. And people here in PA would be really hip to it. Believe me, I know. I lived here my whole life, so don't talk, you know?
But am I going to be subject to rules I didn't agree to?
No. In fact, PA generally ain't that way anyways, more or less, you know?
Absolutely that way right now. Like,
don't live here, Peakless.
We know people who've lived there, dude. Jeremy Kaufman, for instance, is the Free State Project mover who used to live
here.
Yeah,
I don't live there, but I've spent some time there. Dude, you have speed limits like everyone else. I mean...
Oh, come on, Peakless. Now, the fact is, you know, that wasn't even my topic, but since you're all over me, we might as well talk about it. It's all good. And one thing before I go on, being the captain mentioned it. When it comes to this show, I look at, Brother Ian, Brother Captain, Brother Mark... You know, it took me a while to get to know everybody new, but I look at you as my brothers because you're like my friends, just like my friends on Skype, you know? You know, you're more than just co-hosts to me. You're people similar and close to me, you know?
I think they call that a parasocial relationship. Don't they?
What is that?
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
It's where when you listen to somebody a lot, or you watch a person, you know, YouTube or whatever, a lot, you get to learn about that person, but they don't get to learn about you. Now, in your case, Ricky, we do know about you because
I'm very open about me.
You call into the show.
And I'm pretty open about myself, but sometimes too open.
But people feel like they've created a relationship with that person in their mind that doesn't actually exist because, you know, we don't know the average listener from Adam if they walk up on the streets. Not to say we're not grateful that they're out there, but, you know a lot more about us than we know about you.
We exist inside Ricky's head.
Honestly, only from talking to you over the years, you know?
Indeed, Ricky. So what were you calling about tonight?
Well, I don't know if it even matters anymore.
Okay, great.
But anyway, I'll tell you what it was. Last night, you know, I called in and I had a good call. You know, I talked about, you know, my use of Crystal in 15 and 16. And
Ricky said he used to call the show Blazing High every single night back in 2017.
17. Every night I was smoking. In fact, I'm going to get an ounce tonight. That being said, I got you to laugh twice.
Where do you go to get an ounce of weed in Philly? It's not legal there, right?
I'm not in Philly.
Or in Pennsylvania.
It's called the street, dude.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not legal in Pennsylvania.
Are you
either,
suggesting
right?
that things that are illegal can still be acquired because there's a desire to acquire them?
Is that where you, is that also where you get tacos
that was
from?
What this whole call was about. Now, the funny thing is, and I did get you to laugh twice, it was good, it was passionate, it was even on topic, but then the bad stuff happened.
Mm.
Following me, Sarah from New Mexico, and she was uptight. And I'll tell you why she was uptight.
Would you go on a date with Sarah from New Mexico?
Huh?
Would you go on a date with her if we could get you guys together?
You know, I was actually kind of thinking that, if you give me just a second more to finish this, because I was thinking about getting some high-quality product and giving it to Sarah, but that was a bad idea.
I have a follow-up.
I don't think she needs to be any, like, a wider of an
any
attention span
I,
than she already
I have a follow-up
is.
Question for Ricky from the Commonwealth.
Yeah, go ahead.
He has already declared his desire to become a pornographer.
He didn't mention
and
that,
so
didn't
my
he?
Question follow-up is, would he appear in said film with Sarah from New Mexico?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Captain, why have you done this to my imagination?
See, that doesn't really fit with... Well, here's the thing, too. It doesn't really fit with my...
I do not want to see this film.
Some use people from Pennsylvania.
Okay, you only want to do Pennsylvania porn. Got it. Hey, Ricky, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
That guy's a kid.
And for those who want more hijinks from that individual, there's a pretty decent chance he'll call back at...
tomorrow night?
Well, no, tonight.
Oh, tonight?
Yeah. At 10:30 when you don't have to worry about the FCC.
Indeed. That'll be Beard Talk Live tonight, 10:30, on our video streaming platforms like Odyssey. You can go to watch.freetalklive.com. Just go ahead and bookmark that page right now. That way you can just go back there any old time you want to, but especially later on tonight. So about the noon trial, you weren't there,
no, I
Captain.
Wasn't.
Do
I
you have
go,
any
but...
other questions about, you know, what happened? Because we did discuss it in detail on, was it Thursday? Because we had Jay Noon on the show, so it was like...
Yeah.
2.5 plus hours of the 3 hours. So and if you really want an in-depth discussion, go grab Thursday.
And I'm so
show.
Glad that Jay is back on the show.
He Me
was,
too. Yeah.
He
yeah.
was away for a while, and he's back now, and I'm so glad because his perspective is so phenomenal. His history, like, I got mad respect for that guy just as a human being on planet Earth.
This was actually my first time finally seeing him in court because he, up until now, hasn't really had any court action in New Hampshire. He'd gotten involved in several things in Massachusetts, but that was before I knew him. And so I've never actually, like, he's always talked about doing a lot of court research and having a lot of court experience, and he doesn't have a social security number, and he doesn't drive with a driver's license. Like, he lives that life. He is that guy.
Yeah,
the real deal. And so I was really glad to finally get to see him in court.
Yeah, he's, what was that phrase? He's my spirit co-host.
He's great. So we got more coming up here. If you want to join the show, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, we can talk about AI, CBDCs, medical freedom, tuberculosis specifically. What about, you know, should you just be allowed to walk around with TB? These are things we can discuss on the way. You can also take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.